Well, good morning. Let's begin with a prayer together. Father God, we thank you that you're bringing us together here today. And as we open your word, we ask you, would encourage us as we reflect through your word. May the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to your sight. And we also lift up before you for those who are affected by the bushfire across Victoria, that we pray for protection over lives, strengthen for all emergency workers, and comfort for families who are anxious or have suffered loss. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, good morning again. My name is Yi Cheng. For those who don't know who I am, I usually look after the ministries over at Montauk North. Thank you for having me here today. Last time I was here to preach was actually the opposite direction. So you can remember, then you will know how long ago that was. And thank you for welcoming me this morning with all the other people who are on the serving team. So thank you very much. Now, before we jump into the message today, I want to actually, if you're not sitting to a person next to you, make sure that you're sitting to someone. You're sitting with someone next to you. I just want to take a 30-second quick discussion about now whether you have ever been part of a group chat or a shared house or a school group or community group that started with a great intentions but slowly became frustrating or tense. You don't have to be, you don't have to go deep. You know, just a quick chat. All right, go for it. 30 seconds. All right. Now, put your hand up if you have ever been in a group like that. Put your hand up if you have. Not many. Oh, okay. Yeah, great. Okay. Put your hand up if you've never, ever been in a group like that. I doubt it, isn't it? Oh, somebody have. Oh, well done on you guys. Now, I think most of us experience something like that. And the reality is it doesn't take a major crisis for a division to happen, isn't it? Unity usually doesn't break in one dramatic moment. Most of the time, it slowly wears down through everyday interactions. Now, small habits, small frustration, small things left unaddressed. And that's exactly why the Bible takes unity so serious, especially in our homes, our friendship, and in the church as well. Now, in my house, we enjoy building Legos. And anyone who builds a Lego knows how easy it is to get it wrong. Now, that was my that was actually my summer project with my boys. If we go to, so you'll see how it was messed up with all the loose pieces everywhere. And then I said to the boys, go and collect all your pieces so that we can build something look like that again. Anyway, it's a big challenge, trust me. It took us at least 5 days and it's still going. Now, this is a little bit like our relationship, isn't it? When we lose sight of God's design and purpose, things can quickly fall apart. And so unity is not an accident, but it is part of God's original design. Now, Psalm 133 gives us a picture of what that kind of unity looks like when God's people live together. Psalm 133 begins with a simple picture. It doesn't start with a command or a warning, but it starts with this beautiful picture. It says how good and pleasant it is when God's people lived together in unity. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Now, unity matters. It's not just a good idea. It is beautiful and it brings life. It has always been close to the heart of God. Think about our world today. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Now, as we look at the scripture today from Psalms and Proverbs, now I wouldn't go through every verse because it's too long, but I've picked a few things that we perhaps can learn from it. Now, those three things that you don't need to remember everything, but if you can take away with even just one thing, that will be a big win. So let's start with unity, something that we choose, not something that it just happens. Now, in Psalm 133, begins with a simple and powerful picture, as I mentioned just now. It tells us how good and refreshing it is when people live together in unity. Unity matters because it reflects God's heart and His original intention to bring life. Let's be honest, when the word unity comes up, some of us, well, or some of people out there, will quickly switch off straight away, isn't it? Why do I need to be in unity with you? But unity doesn't mean everyone agrees on everything, or that there is never a tension between people. But it means that even when we see things differently, we choose love over pride and connection over control. I'll say that again. Love over pride and connection over control. And this is perfectly expressed through Jesus Christ himself. Now, if you are here on Christmas Day, then you have seen the community orchestra working together with the 10 a.m. band. Well, if you haven't, you can check on the online service. Now, I'm sure there's things that we don't always agree with each other, but the intention, we intentionally came together to worship for the glory of God. One purpose, and that is unity in real life. Now, from the beginning of the world, in Genesis, humanity was created to live in unity with God and with one another. But when sin had entered the world, that unity was broken. And since then, unity has become something that we have to intentionally choose to do. And that's why in Ephesians chapter 4 tells us, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Unity doesn't seem happen doesn't just happen anymore. It takes effort, humility, and choosing grace when it would be easier to protect ourselves or insist on our own way. Now, Psalm 133 gives us two images to show what unity does. It speaks of the oil flowing from the head down through the body, and dew falling gently on the land. Now, the oil reminds us that when there is unity, God's presence and blessing are free to flow. And dew reminds us that the unity is often quiet and consistent. It's not something dramatic, but it sustains life over time. And when unity is present, relationships are nourished. When unity breaks down, that flow is interrupted. So the psalm is actually psalm here ends by saying that God commands His blessing where unity is found. God's blessing is not random, but it is in the broken world that we live in today. Unity is something that we choose through Christ. Now, before we move on, I'll turn to the person next to you and take another 30 seconds. I just wanted to share with the person next to you, where do you feel unity requires the most intentional effort in your life right now? Whether it's at home or with friends or at church. Okay, just one area to comment on. All right, so 30 seconds, go. All right, let's come back. Now, the reason I want you guys to have a chat around yourself is that it helps you guys to remember better as I go. Now, secondly, let's move into the second point. Division is easy, but it always costs more than we expect, isn't it? It's easy to destroy things. It's easy to dismantle our Legos, like in my house, than actually putting it together. I can say it's probably 1 to 10 ratio of the time. Division is easy, but it always costs more than we expect. It's very easy to put out a hurtful word. It's very easy to destroy a relationship. But it takes much longer to build relationship and to come to unity, isn't it? Now, the Proverbs passage that we read today reminds us that when we keep pushing our own way, relationship begins to break down. Now, I picked just one verse to go from this particular section. Verse 14 that we read from today puts it this way. Starting a quarrel like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. It's a very wise word, isn't it? Stop it before it actually happens. Division rarely starts with a big argument. Most of the time, it grows through a small, careless word, a wrong assumption, and hurts that never been dealt with. Now, Scripture reminds us today that many conflicts are not really about truth sometimes, but about self-interest, and that is often where the real damage begins. Jesus warns us about the cost of the division when he said, any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. Division doesn't just affect the moment, but it slowly weakens our homes, our friendship, and our community. And that's why Scripture places so much emphasis on how we speak. Now, Proverbs highlights the wisdom of holding back our words. And in James, the book of James reminds us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Unity is often protected not by having the last word, but by choosing patience, silence, and wisdom in the moment. And however, in the Bible, it reminds us that the deepest division that we faced was first with God. And that's why Jesus came to restore what was lost. And that's the biggest cost. Romans 5, verse 1 teaches us that through faith in Jesus Christ, that we now have peace with God. And Jesus tells us in John chapter 15 that the real life and fruits come when we remain in Him. When we restore and stay connected to Jesus, our relationship with others begins to change as well. And that's the challenge. And so therefore, through the cross, Jesus broke down the wall of division and reconciled us to God and to one another. That's why we can speak to each other freely without the division. Jesus did not teach about unity, but he accomplished unity by dealing with sin, pride, and separation at the cross. And so that we are reconciled to God, so we are given the power to be reconciled to one another. So before we move into the next point, I'm going to give you another 30 seconds to have a quick chat about what you heard. Turn to the person next to you and ask the person, what are the small things that we do in relationship that seems harmless at time, but actually end up costing a lot later? You got 30 seconds. Great, let's come back. Can I see a bit of hand? Who goes for yes? There's something that had happened in my life and no? Yes? Yes? No? Great. We are here to be honest to ourselves and to God. Now, lastly, I want to talk about is unity starts at home and spreads through our relationships. Now, can I see a hand if you have ever learned a musical instrument or art in your life? Great. I'm sure most of you would probably have done that. I think it should be everyone, isn't it? Or learn how to draw a picture. Yeah, okay, anyway. Well, for most of you, some of you probably know that I'm a musician myself as well. Now, my very first piece of music that I've learned is Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Yay! It wasn't Mozart violin concerto in G major or anything. Nothing dramatic like that. Well, we all start from small, isn't it? We all start from something simple that we can do to achieve a bigger picture. And this is what we need to do here. That's what God is calling us to do here. Start small. Start from our home and spread through our relationships. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 13 that people would recognize his followers by the way that we love one another. Jesus makes it clear that unity doesn't begin with being right, winning the argument, or sounding convincing, but by loving one another. Unity begins in a heart that is connected to him, to Jesus, to God himself. Before unity can show up in our relationship, it must first take root in our personal faith. When our relationship with God is restored through Jesus, our ability to love others begins to change. At home, unity shapes faith more powerful than any lessons, I reckon. Children learn what God is like by watching how their adults, how the parents in their lives treat each other. When they see grace instead of anger, forgiveness instead of a resentment, and respect instead of control, faith become real. I'll say that again. Grace instead of anger, forgiveness instead of resentment, and respect instead of control. That's when faith feels real. Ephesians chapter 6 reminds us to bring our children up, same as in our Proverbs today, in the training and instruction of the Lord. Unity at home begins when we learn to abide in Jesus ourselves. As we remain connected to him, his love shapes the way that we speak, that we lead, create, creating a home where faith can grow. And from there, unity flows outward into our friendships, the church, and the wider community. That kind of unity does not avoid hard conversations, but it chooses peace over the need to win and relationship over being right. Romans chapter 12 calls us to live at peace with others as much as it depends on us. And Jesus also said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." So friends, we do not lose our influence because of the outside pressure or the cultural challenges. But we lose influence when unity fades on the inside, with God and with each other. So remember that the gospel is most clearly seen when we live in unity. And this is the kind of unity that does not start elsewhere, but it starts with you and me, from our home, from ourselves, to reconcile with God, reconcile with each other, with our family member, friends, and church, and beyond. So just before I finish, one last question for you guys to take away. Turn to the person next to you and share about what would be the one simple, practical way unity could grow from your life into your home or your relationship this week. All right? Just be realistic as well, okay? I don't want a Mozart violin concerto, but just something small, practical that you think that you might be able to do. 30 seconds, let's go. Friends, unity is not something that we choose anymore, but it's something that we have to intentionally make it happen. Division is easy, but it always costs more than what we expect. And unity starts with our personal faith and spread throughout our relationship. Now, some of us might feel that something isn't quite right in the world that we live in around us today, isn't it? The tension around the world. There's somebody who just wants the whole world to unite with him. Sorry, but that's the fact, isn't it? The crime rate rises in our states, and many people feel less safe and less connected than ever. It raised the honest question, where is God calling you today to bring this unity, to bring this love, to bring this life-changing gospel? The world doesn't need any louder opinions, but what it needs is a life-changing gospel. Jesus said that we are the light of the world. Friends, you are the light of the world. A unified family shines that light clearly. And unified church become a place of hope. And Psalm 133 reminds us that God's blessing rests where unity is lived out. So I pray that we'll choose to be the people who stop divisions in our homes, heal relationships among our friends, and protect unity in the church and the community and beyond. Because real change doesn't begin with fixing the world, but it begins with choosing unity right where God has placed us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you through Jesus Christ that you have brought us into the peace with you and with one another. We ask you would start your work of unity in our hearts. Shape our homes to be a place of grace, patience, and love. And help us to be a peacemaker in our friendships and in our church and in the communities that you call us into. Help us to rely on your grace and to live out the unity that Jesus Christ has already made possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.